12. Let's consider what our great high priest, Jesus Christ, has done for us and how we can respond in faith. And if you guys want to follow along verse by verse in your Bible or on your Bible apps on your phone, if that would help you absorb the scriptures as we read through God's word, however you want to worship in spirit and truth, I'll be quoting from the World English Bible Translation. Chapter 9. Now indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and an earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared. In the first part were the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the holy place. After the second veil was the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense. And the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which was a golden pot holding the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it, cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which things we cannot now speak in detail. These things having been thus prepared, the priests go in continually into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the services. But into the second, the high priest alone, once in the year, not without blood, which he offers for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Spirit is indicating this, that the way into the holy place wasn't yet revealed while the first tabernacle was still standing, which is a symbol for the present age, where gifts and sacrifices are offered that are incapable concerning the conscience of making the worshiper perfect, being only with meats and drinks and various washings, fleshly ordinances imposed until a time of reformation. But Christ, having come as a high priest to the coming good things, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, nor yet through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, entered in once for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify to the cleanness of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without defect to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, since a death has occurred for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, that those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a last will and testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him who made it. A will is in force where there has been death. It is never in force while he who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant has not been dedicated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Moreover, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry in the same way with the blood. According to the law, nearly everything is cleansed with blood, and apart from shedding the blood, there is no remission. It was necessary, therefore, that the copies of the things in the heavens should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ hasn't entered in the holy places made with hands, which are representations of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. passage we just read is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 24. And in light of this section, let's now think about Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, then buried, raised on the third day, ascended to heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father to appear in the presence of God for us through His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. And now He always lives to make intercession for those who would draw near to God through Him. Yes, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Thank you, Jesus. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, who is the propitiation for our sins, our great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and always lives to make intercession for those who would draw near to God through Him. It is so sweet. Back to Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 24. For Christ hasn't entered into holy places made with hands, which are representations of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place, year by year with blood not his own, or else he must have suffered often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has been revealed to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Inasmuch as it's appointed for men to die once after this judgment, So Christ also, having been offered once for the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. For the law, having a shadow of the good to come, not the very image of those things, can never with the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Or else wouldn't they have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, having been once cleansed, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a yearly reminder of sins. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, "You didn't desire sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. You had no pleasure in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin." Then I said, "Behold, in the scroll of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God," previously saying, "Sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you didn't desire, neither had pleasure in them. Those which are offered according to the law." Then he has said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first that he may establish the second, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest indeed stands day by day serving and often offering the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from that time waiting until his enemies are made the footstool of his feet. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them, says the Lord, after those days, I will put my laws on their heart, and I will also write them on their mind, and I will remember their sins and their iniquities no more." Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brothers, boldness to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the way which he dedicated for us, a new and living way through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a great priest over God's house, let's draw near with a true heart, in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the hope of our confession without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after having received a knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire, which will devour the adversaries. A person who disregards Moses' law dies without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think he'll be judged worthy of? who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has outraged the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, "Vengeance belongs to me, says the Lord. I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But remember the former days in which, after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly being exposed to both reproaches and oppressions, and partly becoming partakers with those who are treated so. For you both had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an enduring one in the heavens. Therefore, do not throw away your boldness, which has great reward, for you need endurance, so that after having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In a very little while, he who comes will come and will not wait. But the righteous shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the saving of the soul. Chapter 11. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, proof of things not seen. For by this, the elders obtained approval. By faith, we understand that the universe has been framed by the Word of God, so that what's seen has not been made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had testimony given to him that he was righteous. God testifying with respect to his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he wouldn't see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For he has had testimony given to him that before his translation, he had been well pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to be well pleasing to him. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned about things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared a ship for the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out to the place which he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he went. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive, and she bore a child when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Therefore, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore, were fathered by one man, and him as good as dead. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and embraced them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. If indeed they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, they would have had enough time to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You know, Jesus has prepared a place for each and every one of us who believe, and I praise and thank God for that. Jesus, how great thou art. back to Hebrews chapter 11, right? By faith, Abraham, being tested, offered up Isaac. Yes, he who had gladly received the promises was offering up his only born son, to whom it was said, "Your offspring will be accounted as from Isaac." Concluding that God is able to raise up, even from the dead. Figuratively speaking, he also did receive him back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do so, they were swallowed up. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute didn't perish with those who are disobedient, having received the spies in peace. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me if I told of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked out righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness, were made strong. Grew mighty in war and caused foreign armies to flee. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others were tried by mocking and scourging. Yes, moreover, by bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn apart. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They went around in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts, mountains, caves, and the holes of the earth. These all, having been commended for their faith, didn't receive the promise. God having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, let's also, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing grace. Thank you, God, for your word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. That was awesome. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word through music from Matt. Bless every word that is said and done, especially that you paid the price for our sins. None of us could do what you did, Lord. So we just come to say thank you. Thank you, thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.